From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. More survivors have been found in the wreckage of last Tuesday's earthquake in Haiti, giving hope to families still searching for their loved ones. In Port-au-Prince, much of which has been left in ruin, a group of Catholic and Protestant worshippers gathered for Sunday Mass amid the rubble of a collapsed cathedral. NPR's Jason Beaubien says the service was emotional for both Haitians and those reporting on the tragedy.
There was actually a moment when the priest walked out into the crowd, which was not huge. It was probably 100 people, maybe a little bit more, and said, "Peace be with you," obviously in French. And as he was doing that, there were quite a few foreign press around, journalists, and the people started shaking hands with all the journalists, and the cameramen who were trying to film all of a sudden had to put down their cameras. It was quite emotional. People really wanted to be together, and they also thanked the international community for being there and thanked the press for getting out the story and the word about what's happening in their country.
NPR's Jason Beaubien in Port-au-Prince. The head of the Roman Catholic Church also prayed for Haiti's earthquake victims. Pope Benedict XVI delivering his Sunday blessing at the Vatican. International aid is reaching more people in Haiti, but hundreds of thousands of people are still waiting for fresh food and water 5 days after the quake struck. Kate Conrad, spokeswoman for the charity Save the Children, says her organization is being resourceful in trying to accelerate the delivery of aid.
Save the Children is moving as quickly as possible because the traffic at the airport is moving in very quickly. In Port-au-Prince, we have begun to source materials in the Dominican Republic.
That's Kate Conrad of Save the Children. President Obama spoke about the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. today at a Washington area church, and he will soon travel to Massachusetts. NPR's Scott Horsley has details.
It's been almost 40 years since a Democrat has lost a Senate race in Massachusetts, but polls suggest Democrat Martha Coakley is very much in danger of ending that streak in a special election on Tuesday. Coakley's in a tight race with Republican Scott Brown to fill the seat long held by the late Ted Kennedy. President Obama had not planned a campaign in what's traditionally the Democratic stronghold of Massachusetts, but with a critical Senate vote on the line, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs announced an abrupt about-face on Friday.
I think the president believes he can be helpful and is happy to accept the invitation.
Should Brown upset Coakley Tuesday, he could provide Republicans with the 41st vote needed to sidetrack health care legislation that's been one of the president's top priorities.
That's Scott Horsley. This is NPR. Former Iraqi Foreign Minister Tariq Aziz suffered a stroke and has lost his ability to speak, said his son who lives in neighboring Jordan. Dale Gavlak has details from Amman.
Ziad Aziz said his father Tariq Aziz had a stroke, fell to the floor of his prison cell in Baghdad, and can no longer speak. Aziz was rushed to a hospital in Balad, about 40 miles north of Baghdad, on Friday. Aziz was the international face of Saddam Hussein's regime. He was also its deputy prime minister, who was known for his eloquent use of English. Ziad Aziz said his family has appealed to the International Committee of the Red Cross for assistance. The son has repeatedly criticized the Iraqi government for the continued detention of his sickly father, despite the U.S. not finding Aziz culpable of any crime. The family has also made appeals to the Vatican to intervene on the Iraqi Catholics' behalf. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Amman.
The Iraqi government has signed a deal with a consortium led by Royal Dutch Shell to develop one of the country's major oil fields. Shell and Malaysian-run Petronas want to increase the daily output at the Majnoon field in southern Iraq from about 46,000 barrels to nearly 2 million barrels a day over 10 years. Similar agreements are expected to be finalized this month. The Chinese government has restored text messaging service to a northwestern province that was rocked by deadly ethnic violence in July. However, residents are limited to 20 messages a day. Beijing says it's trying to limit the chances that texting will be used to incite violence. The government says text messaging and the internet were used last summer to organize protests in Xinjiang province between the majority Han Chinese and the minority Uyghurs. This is NPR.